Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Billy Lawson. Welcome to the program. This is going to be under the umbrella of what's happening right now with the White House and with the House impeachment insanity and a pretty good play by the president this morning, as early as possible, releasing the transcripts of this conversation with Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, which basically doesn't have any mention at all of quid pro quo at all. And you can read those transcripts on the on the fightbackmedia.com website. This is going to be interesting underneath that umbrella. Now, what's interesting is that this is a conversation that we've been having for a very long time. You know, and I tell you, I follow this guy, Jeff the Conservatarian, on Twitter. Now, most of Twitter, like I keep telling you, is a cesspool. For the most part, I got to be honest with you. I freaking hate Twitter. I thought I was done with Facebook until I stepped my foot in the cesspool of what Twitter is. Except for my friend Jeff. I'm going to say Jeff, the Conservatarian. He is moving to where a lot of black people are moving to, frankly. They walked away from the Democrat Party, possibly. And they didn't walk right into the waiting arms of Republicans. Well, then there's a whole bunch, or even conservatives, there's a whole bunch of reasons for that. But we're going to talk about one thing in particular today. We're going to talk about the GOP. And the GOP has thought, I think, that all this time that there was really no place else to go. So people were going to run to their door. They thought that they were like the Walmart of politics. Well, where else are you going to get that? You be able to go to the same store and get a chicken, a tire for your car, get your nails done, all in the same building. Where else are you going to go? It's Walmart. And you're going to get it cheap. Where else are you going to go? So they've sort of been not ever really doing all the things they needed to do, especially when it comes to reaching out. And I even hate that phrase, reaching out to 13% of the American population. I've had this conversation a number of times. I also had it yesterday with a Republican candidate for U.S. House, Christian Acosta. This was, I don't even know if this is working now. I'm going to have to go ahead and click this button and get this caller on to see if this is happening now, because this didn't even work yesterday. I was so frustrated. The new update for Windows it was a pain in the ass. But in any case, it was Christian Acosta who was supposed to be on yesterday, but didn't because of a technical nonsense. We were having a personal conversation, and the deal is that this whole idea of Republican outreach is a ridiculous thing. And I think it's being held back, and I think my caller will probably agree with me. It's being held back because of the P word that some Republicans are, and even black Republicans are so afraid of. It looks like pandering. Well, it's not pandering when you have to go out and actually listen to 13% of the American population to see what their damn concerns are. That's not pandering. So if my caller will, I see that you press the button. If you'll wait just a little bit and let me ring the register a little bit for the folks, I'll be right there. And I think it's Jeff. I'm not sure, but we're going to find out in just a little bit. And let me ring the register. We'll be back right back with more of the program right after this. Are you looking for a reliable transportation, but you don't have a bunch of money? Are you wary of used car types? And you should be. You just need a car you can afford and a dealer you can trust. Great news. Good Guy Cars is here. John Desbrow is something you don't find every day. An honest used car dealer. Good Guy Cars is at 8412 Industrial Boulevard in Tampa, Florida. The phone number is 813-999-9992. That's 813-999-9992. The web address is www.goodguycars.com. Listen, in America, there are three proven ways to build wealth: business, investment, and real estate. All three seem to have high hurdles to jump to get into, but believe it or not, real estate is the lowest of the three hurdles, and multifamily real estate investing is the best way to go. From duplexes to apartment complexes, multifamily investing brings the biggest bang for your investment buck. My friends at Buy It, Rent It, Profit and the Landlord Academy are ready, willing, and able to get you going on the path of building wealth. Contact Joe Ebanks and Brian Chavis at buyitrentitprofit.com. Buyitrentitprofit.com. All right. All right. Welcome back. We appreciate you hanging out with us a little bit today. You know, there's nothing more valuable than your time, and because you can't make any more of that. You can make more money, but you dang gone sure can't make more time. So where you spend it is where it's spent. And if you spend a little bit with me, I really, really appreciate it. All right. We're going to talk about this. The subject of today's program is what the heck is the GOP waiting for, especially when it concerns the Black community. I saw some tweets that they're waiting for an invitation, and because the Democrats pretty much run Black neighborhoods and Black communities, that there isn't an invitation. Well, you don't need a damn invitation. I mean, are the streets blocked off? I mean, are there big gates up that says that say no Republicans allowed? I haven't seen one in one community yet. So we're going to have that conversation. But first, we're going to go ahead, and because he was so nice to go ahead and call right away, I'm sure he wants to be heard right away. So let's go ahead to the 314. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you ever so much for dialing in this morning. What do you think?
Well, it's hard to find people that talks on a general level like you do, Willie. So I'm sorry if I plagued you. But, you know, regardless, disregarding the other issues that's going on in the news, and I usually say I'm supporting votes for Donald Trump, this president, for issues. But, you know, you were talking about the Republicans going after the Black or African-American vote. And I have kind of mixed feelings on that. You say that 13%. And when you really lay that 13% out on the table, you're going to have probably three piles. You're going to have something that's totally tangible, something that's not tangible, then you're going to have something that's in the middle. And there's no appreciable way how a part of that ethnic group is going to immediately walk over to the conservative side. It's just not going to happen. And we have to face it. Now, as we move into different economic and social stratums, you have to shed some of the clothes that you was wearing before you got to the point where you can not only cross over, but even dwell into those stratums. Why is that? It's because they become self-disinteresting. They actually become a plague. I mean, think about it. Now, I'm not saying that. See, the thing is, the Democrats have some good programs that's designed to help people that need them. But the problem is that they dwell in those areas far too long, and for obvious reasons. Because they provide a base for which they can pursue their economic reality. I mean, we've heard people say, why would you get rid of cancer and they're making so much money off of it?
Yeah, the, I mean,
so,
the money's in the medicine.
You see what I'm talking about.
Not in the cure. Well, yeah, I do. And I am not under no delusion that people will suddenly become, you know, what, card-carrying Republicans or even conservatives. I'm under no delusion. But I still find, even as a card-carrying Republican, somebody who was on the Republican Executive Committee here where I live, I ran as a Republican candidate not once but twice. I still, if I am to look at the whole thing holistically, I still find the GOP wanting in their efforts to speak to all Americans. And this is a thing that, now I had this conversation with this guy who's running for Congress in South Florida, and I mentioned that earlier. His name is Christian Acosta, and we talked on the phone for about an hour. And just in that conversation, I'm sorry, I'm a fan of the dude, because he set up a bunch of right stuff to somebody he didn't even know. So I'm a fan. The idea is that what Trump got into and found out in 2016 was there were a lot of people in America that didn't feel that they were being talked to or about. That was the silent majority that kept showing up at rallies, that right now will continue to show up at rallies. And I believe that Trump's rally numbers from now until the end of the campaign are going to be off the charts. Thank you, Beto O'Rourke. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi, for filling these places up, because this is what I, you know what, and people can disagree with me, but I think that's what's going to happen. I think that Trump sort of found people who felt they were disenfranchised in the regular discussion. Now, I'm of the mind that the Republican Party can do likewise if indeed they just decide on a local level, on a national level, of course, the national level will fund some of these local efforts, to do things like, and I'm not talking about campaigns and that kind of stuff. What I'm talking about is a concept that's not called political outreach. That's one of those phrases that you have, one of those garments you have to take off and walk away from that you were talking about. Because political outreach is a snipe hunt. Nobody's ever done it. It doesn't exist. People talk about it all the time, but no one's ever seen it. Is something that I've called for a long time, called community infusion. And what that simply means is, let me give you all an example. Here's an example. I serve on a committee called, my wife and I do, the East Tampa Revitalization Partnership. And what mm-hmm. that group is charged with is making sure that some tax dollars that are earmarked for improving where we live is how those tax dollars are spent and on what projects. We get some community we get to, as a community and as a committee, sort of get some input on those kinds of things. And you know what? And our base is the people who live around us. We go to the meetings and go, you know what? I was talking to my neighbors, and my neighbors think this, and other people do that, and we get some direction here. These are the types of committees that local Republicans, especially in the urban area, do not participate in. The, you know what, whatever the boundary is for their Republican safe district, they never go outside that boundary.
Is that the Community Development Block Grant Funds?
No, it isn't. Unfortunately, it comes from something called a TIF fund, and the TIF fund mm-hmm. had to do with a sales tax
imposed on incremental financing.
Exactly, that we imposed on ourselves to keep the Buccaneers in town. Frankly, that's where it came from. I'm going to tell you. To keep the Buccaneers in town.
I was in St. Louis, and you see the Rams left.
Yes,
I was in
did.
St. Louis. You see the Rams left. But you know, don't feel bad, because even with the CDGF funds, Community Development Block Grant funds, when they come to the state, and then when they go to certain counties, there's supposed to be a public meeting that's held getting input from the public on how best to apply those
yes.
funds. And people don't show up to them. And you, especially, you know, individuals out of the African American community, they don't show up to those meetings. I don't know.
I gotta say,
I don't know for sure.
We do. Mm-hmm. I actually, I think that we do a really good job. I'm telling you, all our meetings are packed. we have two meetings because we have senior citizens, of course, this is Florida. We have senior citizens who come in the morning, and the evening meetings are for younger people who work. So we do a lot to make sure that people have their input. The early morning meetings.
What's some of the suggestions you hear?
We have done a lot of, quote, beautification projects, cleanup projects. We have on our staff a police officer that is, their job is to make sure that he sees and is able to prosecute any illegal dumping in the area. Because, you know what, areas like ours end up being places where people illegally dump their trash. And, of course, that makes it not a good place to start businesses and the like. And it brings crime and all sorts of things. We have a guy, a temp police officer, who's our environmental person. His only job for us is to sniff out illegal dumping and prosecute people who do it. That's his only job. And we make sure that we can we have a thing called a facade grant that we give to local businesses that want to fix up the front of their business.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a facade grant.
I'm very familiar with those. Yeah,
okay.
They work too. Mm-hmm.
They do work. And it isn't like it's just a giveaway, because in our situation, I'm sure yours is similar, that the business has to do 50% of the work before they can apply for the grant.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have to do the work before they can apply for the grant.
Yeah, you know, things like putting in ADA access, putting curb line trees and shrubbery, and also, you know, awnings on buildings.
Yes.
Those are ways that they've been applied, you know, areas that I know of.
Well, yeah, and those are the kind of things that the East Tampa Revitalization Partnership is involved in, and has been for a while. And I think really has done a pretty good job. However, these are the kind of committees that Republicans can be a part of, because in these discussions, when you're dealing with, I'm going to be frank, because you know me, you know, when you're dealing with a whole group of black folks who are, I think, are doing a good job, the politics sometimes becomes what the politics are. And there's only one side. And I think that, you know, if nothing else, I think that Republicans can learn an awful lot by being in the room and listening to the hearts and minds of people who live in the urban community, if they're there. And I'm not talking about deputizing me to go in there and come back and report to you later. I'm not interested in being your mole. I'm just not interested. The idea is that I think that local party officials need to come in and bring resources, but more importantly, bring their ears and their heart to listen in these places, because this is the thing that'll make the difference. Because now you have a real understanding, a firsthand understanding of what's happening in these communities. Because where I live, basically the county is, all the unincorporated areas of Tampa are primarily Republican. All the incorporated areas of Tampa are 70-30 Democrat. Why is that? Because it really is. It's like there's a moat on the city line. There's a moat and a drawbridge. And if you're one or the other, you really can't cross. Don't do it. And I think this is a problem, because I think that in these times, a city like Tampa is in the African American community is ripe economically for a more conservative message. We are right. People are questioning what's been happening, even in our city, the past 40 or 50 years. People have questions. People aren't just taking the same old okie doke they used to from city officials. People are pushing back a little bit on the Democrat narrative. Now is the time to come in and at least hear. But they are. I don't know what they're waiting for, Tatru. I'm not sure what they're waiting for.
Well, you know, I've noticed one thing about conservatives is that they are in delayed reactionary mode. They're experiencing some things they never have experienced before. And I've talked
to
them.
Win?
Say, well, you're right. You
the
know, I tell whites, period. I say, you know, when somebody calls you a racist, call them a racist back. Because when they call you a racist, I notice that you stop dead in your tracks and you
which is why they call you a racist, because that'll get
It's a tool. It's a workable. It's a wonderful tool. It's got a long track record of working.
Yep. Yeah. So
they got called
and,
blacks racist. Some that you know how you get that special name they give you T and C. I say, well, you're a racist.
Yep.
But you know, here's another thing too, Willie. Mr. Lawson, I put emphasis on education. One of the reasons I supported Donald Trump because it's his school choice where parents. Now, we know that kids come from, it's not the child's fault, but you have some functional families that's poor and cannot. I think that they need to have the opportunity to be able to take their child out of that environment where they aren't learning and put them in a place that's more suitable for what their long-term goals are.
I'm a big fan of real-life school choice.
And I tell you why. Because as people pursue those things, that's going to put them in a different economic and social mode. Then they will start shedding off and seeing the other for what it really is. I talked to a young man today who was a cardiac perfusionist. No way, he's not young. He's getting close to 60. He's been doing it for over 30 years. I mean, those people make over $350,000 a year. He's going into starting his own business. And I say, well, now if you start a business, your tax rate is around 21% rather than 36%. He say, I know. That's why.
Your boy said, I'm hip. I know. I'm hip.
Pratt
why do you
Industries,
think I'm doing it now?
Hey, Pratt Industries is opening up a plant in Ohio where they're investing $2 billion, and they're doing it because of the tax reform. They have invested $250 billion more in the United. Can you imagine that? A company out of Australia has invested $250 billion in the United States more so because of, hey, it's the tax reform. And they're putting thousands of people to work, 500 in Ohio. So when you get into a certain stratum, then things, your interests take on, you take on new interests. And it's only befitting because they are of your interest, and not only yours, but also your family.
Well, no doubt. No doubt. And this is my point, that a lot of conservative ideas and values, and even libertarian ideas and values, are actually a winning formula in the in black communities. That those are the medicines that have that those communities have needed to solve their ailment for a very long time. And when because people are afraid of being called racist, they're afraid of getting the side eye. They're just uncomfortable being the only white guy in the room. Yeah, really, welcome to my world, white boy. But for whatever reason, they don't want to be looked at as pandering, which is something that absolutely irritates me the most, is that these ideas are not being infused into the community like they should be. And those groups aren't infusing themselves into these communities like they need to be. And that's their real problem. I mean, the real problem is that they think the GOP, especially on the national level, I've got a whole story. I won't bore you with it. I think if people go back and listen to my podcast, where I talked about the 2012 election, when I was talking to Amari on the phone, and she basically asked, at the end of the conversation, asked me, what I could do to help them at the national level. And I'm like, what I can do for you, to help you, let you know what's going on. Y'all got all the money. So anything that I come up with, I have to pay for out of my own pocket. There's no national strategy for the GOP for community infusion.
Well,
all
people efforts, like yourself should be utilized because you can be best utilized. I mean, you have all the pre-qualifications. You look like the people that they should be going to. And also, you carry the message, you experienced it. And there are more people within this group. And we have to talk about it in groups because that's the way United States just so happened to be. they are concentrated in different groups along certain ideas and even ethnicities. But there are more in this particular ethnicity we are mentioning, like you, but they won't come out. They won't get vocal for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, understood. And that's that's kind of my point. You know, a lot of people aren't going to come out and say a whole bunch about this or that because, you know, they ain't trying to wave the flag. They're not trying to rock the boat. They're just trying to live every day, you know, get home safe, you know, feed their family, live indoors.
And some of them, depending where they are, they got their job hanging over their head. Let's be real with it. In some of these enclaves, due to the structure, you know, like the post office with Congressman Clay, he was very strong pro, but he's a Democrat. So if you in there and all of a sudden you have these conservative ideas, you stand a chance of being heavily ridiculed or even losing your job.
Sure, sure. And I understand that. So I don't really expect everybody to speak up and speak out. I don't. This is why I'm leaving a lot of this to not even the national GOP in Washington, but I'm thinking about the local chapters and the local organizations and the local clubs to infuse themselves in the African American community where they are in a way that makes the most sense. I mean, it may be something as simple as deciding that you are the Riverside Republican Club has decided to go to an elementary school in the hood and read the kids a story time. That's it.
Well, it should. I see what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be hard as heck. Just picture this.
Okay.
You live in a Democratic ward.
I do.
You have conservative. All right. When you walk up to that poll, you got Democrat pollsters out there that would take your information out of your hand and put their slate in your hand. All right? That there I call is voter intimidation. But it goes on. Mm-hmm. I know it goes on. I witness and I see it. Also, you lived in a heavy Democratic district and you cast your vote for that Republican. Heck, it probably won't be about four or five that do. Heck, you already identified.
Well, I got a real quick story that you know what, when we go to vote, I go, and of course the volunteers at my precinct are usually older Black women. I'm just going to tell you that's what they are. And I hand my driver's license to them, and they scan our system. They scan my driver's license, and that way they can make sure that I'm registered. And I've had them scan it once. And then look quizzically, scan it again. Scan it one more time before they hand me my ballot, because it says then that I'm a Republican. And they look at me like,
"Oh, so you don't have to ask for it?"
No,
out loud.
Scan it. No, they scan and they hand it to you. But they, them old ladies will give you. They give you the side eye for sure. No, we don't have to ask for it out loud.
You know, in some districts, some wards, you have to ask for it, and of course, I'm a Republican. They whisper.
Well, this is, fortunately, where I live, we don't have to ask for it. I mean, we don't have to ask for it out loud. They scan it and they hand us our ballot, and off we go. There you go.
Well, that's a better way.
Well, yeah, I mean, because first of all, it ain't everybody's business. It's just not anybody else's business. If this is going to be a secret ballot, it's nobody's business what side you think I'm lining up on. And just because, and in the general election, just because I asked for a Republican ballot doesn't mean that I'm going to vote a Republican ticket. It doesn't mean that. Just like when you ask for a Democrat ballot, doesn't mean that you're going to vote a Democrat ticket. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that, you know what, right now, at this point in time, I side more with their values or their supposed values than the other. That's all that is.
And you know some of the tricks they pull. You go to this one lady. She doesn't have any Republican ballots there. So she hollered down to the other end. Hey, can you send me a And everybody in the whole room stop and look at you. Now you've been revealed. Yes, those things, those tricks do go on, Willie. I'm telling you, man, they really do.
I'm glad
and they need
then
to
I,
stop.
Then I am happier today that I live where I live than ever. because they scan your driver's license, and then right there where she is, my ballot prints out at her little printer. And she hands it to me. And then I go and fill it out. And then I go and I put it in the scanner myself. I don't hand it to somebody else, put it in the scanner. I've actually put it in the scanner myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they give you a manila folder that you cover your ballot in when you're walking around with it, so nobody can see, no one can get an eye on who you voted for, and then you put it in the scan.
Now, you guys in Florida have had some reform, I guess, since the Chad incidents and so on. But
that happened in South Florida because South Florida sucks basically. That's mostly mostly Democrats, and it sucks.
But you are absolutely right. Members of the GOP should start looking at things different than what they have. Stop. I mean, the period of time that we're in now, it's not a given that because this certain phenotypical person is voting a certain way. You got a lot of young people that want to change, and they are demonstrating every chance that they get that they want to change. There's openly demonstration that they want to change, and you need to pay attention to them.
I often tell people this. You know, in 2015, 2016, in the Republican primary, there were three Republican votes cast in my house. Two were for Marco Rubio, and one was for Ted Cruz. My kid voted for Ted Cruz. Okay, so there is an opportunity to have that conversation with especially young people that you might not have in 2008 been able to have that conversation, but you sure can have it now. If you're willing to actually have it, if you're willing to have the stones to face the music for your lack of participation in these communities for the past 30 years and for your ridiculously bad, horrific messaging that you have this great dinner that you continue to serve on garbage can lids, continue to forever. But if you're willing to own up to why haven't Republicans invested in these communities up until now, and why do you only show up at election time? Why? Unless you're ready to answer all these questions, then maybe you shouldn't go. But I think that it's time to start having these conversations. In the age of Trump, I think it's a great time to start having these conversations. You start looking at the numbers of black people that are sort of crossing the line. And I think they only cross the line on Trump, frankly. I don't think they cross the line on their county commissioners.
You're proud of it, but you know how things catch on. Can you envision a group, a large group of black kids, young people coming down the street with MAGA caps on? That's a fad. It catches on. People become interested. What is it? What does it mean? And now they are ambassadors for that idea. They can be able to speak and explain. They can interact and explain why they feel this way as a young person. It's their future. You have young people taken off from school on the green idea.
Oh my God.
Then what about young people taken off from school who has the opposite reality, the opposite view? You just can't let yourself be the reactionary with nothing to fight back with. If these tools are working for them, then why not deploy the same type of tools in order to get your message, your presentation out in front of people?
Well, I think that the Republicans and conservatives sometimes spend so much time and so much energy and so much effort in demeaning the ways, the tools, that then it looks and feels hypocritical if they use the same tools, because we do a lot except attack the root of some of these behaviors. You know, the sad part about the climate change thing, especially with this little Swedish chick, little 16-year-old, is that this is the methodology used is horrific. How they're using kids. David Hogg is one of them. This little girl from Sweden, the whole climate change thing, they do that all the time. And what we do is we demean the means so much that now we can't present our kids. Kids like CJ, you know, CJ, that kid gets death threats and he gets hammered. And you know who's the most silent? The Republican Party is silent. Absolutely freaking silent.
Republican Party's got to do more of that. See, there's a greater impact when you see people marching for a cause. We're talking about 9, 10, 11-year-olds, rather than seeing people coming down the street on walkers and in wheelchairs.
That would be me. You know, so be me. Well, it depends on how long the street was. If it was a short street, I'd walk it. But you know what I mean.
See, people look at what the future behold. They don't too much care about what will happen next week. But if you got young people sending out the message on a conservative basics, it's going to have a great impact, because they say sooner or later them old folks are going to die and they'll be gone. And that's what they rely on. I mean, really, yeah. Truthfully, that's what they rely on.
They're just hoping that I die before I get what I mean. I see what I get. I mean, I can actually have what I'm talking about. Okay. But, you know, but the idea is that unless we actually have these conversations out loud, and unless the Republican Party gets a strategy to go into these neighborhoods and start interfacing with the residents there and the kids there, then none of this happens. It's all going to be piecemeal. It's all going to be me and my wife and my kid, which I think ultimately has to happen too, because that's the web that gets this started. But if the local Republican parties or the state parties aren't doing this as a matter of course, of this is how we do business, not something special. This is how we do business. This is no special outreach. We're not having a party, and then we want y'all, and we're having ribs, and we want all y'all to come. That ain't what I'm talking
about. Well, you know,
I'm
gonna tell you, Willie. I tell you what I've done. I went to my local Congress office and got a big stack of constitutions. And an opportunity I had to go speak to some public school students that was being taught by my baseball coach, who I'm assistant to, and I handed out constitutions. And we talked about any particular thing in the Congress. I had a young black girl say, well, you know, this wasn't made for us. Well, where did
she
get that from?
Because she's
heard
that from the left.
Absolutely. So you open that up, and then you show her why it's made for you. And see, no one can accuse you of trying to persuade people to one political side or another. No, we are showing them how you are due diligently represented by that document, because you're a United States citizen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and again, that's your, I mean, that's sort of been your ministry by yourself, and that is exactly what needs to happen as the undergirding for these conversations. My initial point is still the same, that again, local parties and state parties need to adopt these sort of things into their normal course of how they do business, that they infuse themselves in the community, not have a party and have a special quote, and I'm using air quotes here, a special outreach program. We don't need special outreach programs because they don't exist in the first place. But I mean, I want a 24/7, 365 way to do business, especially in these communities that aren't necessarily wrapped around candidates. So if you can do this, you know what, on the off election years, that's even better, because those kind of things where you go in and teach the Constitution, where you go in and you feed the homeless, where you go in and you are a significant part of Habitat for Humanity and you help build houses and all the mm-hmm. things that those communities need. That what Republicans
Really
do is write checks and hope that somebody else does.
You know, Donald Trump has laid out things. You know, your kids want things, and you tell them, well, now that the tax that I'm paying less in taxes because of these policies is coming from this conservative candidate, these conservative policies allow me to keep more of my paycheck where I can direct that towards some of the things that you're talking about, some of the pleasure things.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that there is putting it in real live example where they can see it and they can see how it benefits them. The same thing with the schools. You know, you ask your child, you want to be a medical doctor, but in this environment, you never will be encouraged or giving the necessary skills that you need to have in order to make that a successful reality. So if I could just take you out here and that money follow me. See, it's ways that we can do this, Willie. They already exist.
Well, I understand. Well, I'm not
and
fighting on
me
that.
And you, but the ways that the GOP could be, more GOP.
You know what?
Could be.
And that's my thing. Why haven't you know what the field is white on the harvest, and the idea is that local GOPs and state GOPs could use these very same things that you and I are talking about. The whole new deal for Black Americans that. Was written by the Trump campaign in October of 2016, and take those things on and make those a matter, the regular course of business when it comes to the Black communities in America. They haven't
Absolutely.
Done it. And frankly, they just haven't done it.
No, they haven't. It's time that they need to do it. We need to jump on it right away. I tell people that's talking on conservative shows, are your children listening? Where's your kids? Are they there listening? Are they playing with the video game? Willie, you're down about 2.5 minutes. I'm going to let you go
Thanks.
Ahead and finish here.
I see. I got a timer, too. I do. All right. Well, again, thanks for the conversation because it's always good. I appreciate you. And I don't know when I'll be back on this format again. It made me mad yesterday, so I was,
Well, if you're not on, I know you're out working, and that's better.
Yeah, and I'm gonna work today too. So right now, let's see. Today, 8 days. You know, 7 days of work in a row. Yay for me, money. All right. Well, let me do this sign off, and we'll get back with you when we see you again.
All right, friend. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Bye bye now. You know, this is the point. This is the point. You know what? There are so many things that can be done and that are being done by individuals all the time. However, local GOPs, state GOPs, and the national GOPs are not taking advantage of what, you know, the things that have been laid out already. They're just not. And I just can't understand what the heck they're waiting for. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And like I said a minute ago, the fields are white under harvest. So many questions that are being asked that were never really asked before. By people who never asked questions before. You know, we have, again, like Jeff and I was talking about, I'm sure who's listening, talk about, you know, being not only a conservative, but a conservatarian. And so that idea of this idea that it's only going to be, you know, Democrats and I should only be a Democrat and I should only have liberal policies, that thought among people who are middle-aged and younger is going away. So the opportunity for Republicans or the GOP to adopt and maintain conservative values and not move from that place and support the tenets of the Constitution stronger than they ever have before, and stop being Democrat light and stop being socialist light, that's a message that is going to resound in places that they never thought would resound. And we're here to tell you. Anyway, we got to get out of here and make room for somebody else. So until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We will see you when we see you. Bye-bye now.